and what the flow of the Elk River was yesterday, you come up with a concentration of about 40 milligrams per liter. Now, I looked in the Safe Drinking Water Act standards. There is no primary there. And you have primary and secondary drinking water standards. Mm-hmm. So primary drinking water standards are the ones that really make you sick, or there are carcinogens or this really nasty stuff. This is not one of them. There is a category in secondary drinking water standards called foaming agents. And the secondary drinking water standards are mainly for aesthetic issues, you know, things that will make the water taste bad, smell bad, stain your clothing when you're washing it, or cause lots of bubbles to come up your drain pipe. And I suspect that's what this is all about. So, like I say, it doesn't turn up as a toxin, but it probably is classified as a foaming agent. And those are regulated at about half a milligram per liter. So my estimates would indicate that the concentration getting to the water intake for the water distribution system was going to be above that. So it could be well above that because they're both on the same side of the river. They may not have mixed chemical. They have not mixed 100% by the time it got to the water intake. So given all that, I think it was prudent to shut down the water system. What I can tell is a very soluble chemical. It's an alcohol. Alcohols tend to be soluble in water. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't separate. It wouldn't form a sheen on the water like an oil would, for example, even though it's an organic compound. So if you look at the state of play here, it's going to get into the water treatment system, and then it probably worked its way out into the mains and the water distribution system. It has mains and then sub-mains and then right to people's houses. Before the system shut down, there was probably some distribution of this compound into the far reaches of the water system. So that may take some time to flush out. Now, that said, if you look at the exposure pathways, I think that the drinking water aspect of it is probably a relatively minor threat. But I think what you're going to see is that, and I think this is why the state exercised so much caution, it is an irritant. I'm not really sure what concentrations it's an irritant. But if it gets into your eyes, if you breathe a lot of it into your lungs, if you get a lot of it on your skin, it will be an irritant. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why they recommended shutting down the water systems.
I see. Can you guess?
Well, I would expect that the water would, in the Kanawha River, has probably already gotten close to the Ohio River by this time.
Sure.
And once it gets to Ohio, I doubt that you'll even be able to detect it because the Ohio has such an enormous amount of flow. Even my calculations, by the time it gets to the Kanawha River, given the flow that it has right now, would be down to about 6 milligrams per liter. Mm-hmm. And for a relatively short period of time, because this is a relatively short-lived spill. It's not like you've got something that's going to be leaking for the next 2 months.
Sure.
It's basically a slug of chemical. It's water-soluble. It'll move through the system. To me, the part that causes concern is how long it takes to flush out of the water distribution system. And that's really a matter of how rapidly people will flush their toilets, turn on their taps, that sort of thing. Well, the state is advising people to continue to flush their toilets, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a bad idea for everyone to turn on their taps full all at once because that'll probably crash the system. So I would tend to listen to whatever the state agencies are recommending in that regard.
Okay.
No, I doubt this stuff is very volatile.
Yeah.
It doesn't boil until about 150 degrees, 160 degrees centigrade. So it actually boils at a higher temperature than water does.
Okay.
So boiling will not get rid of it.